Another early pioneer worth mentioning is neuroanatomist Harold S. Burr from Yale University. He discovered that even an unfertilized salamander egg had an electrical energy field that was already shaped like an adult salamander, showing a straight line of charge along the egg in the direction it would eventually grow into an adult. In plant seedlings, Burr found electrical fields that looked similar to the adult plant. Burr found these electrical fields around all different life forms. He noticed that the charge of these fields would change with growth, sleep patterns, the amount of light exposure, tissue regeneration, the presence of water, storms, the onset of cancer, and even the cycles of the moon. Furthermore, Dr. Robert Becker, an orthopedic surgeon, studied the human body's natural electrical fields and found that every person he studied had the strongest electrical charges on the Chinese acupuncture meridian points. The ancient sciences apparently have much more truth to them than many of us have been led to believe. The DNA phantom effect. Now, I want to jump ahead in time to 1984, because this was the year our addiction to DNA was heavily challenged, if not defeated, by Dr. Peter Garyayev. Garyayev's discovery also gave us a compelling hint that Gervich's mitogenetic radiation, the source field, may well be operating through our DNA. Furthermore, Garyayev's discovery suggests that the complete genetic codes for an organism might not actually be found in the DNA molecule after all, at least not as their final location. When Garyayev put a sample of DNA in a tiny quartz container, zapped it with a mild laser, and then observed it with sensitive equipment that could detect even single photons of light, he found that the DNA acted like a light sponge. Somehow, the DNA molecule absorbed all the photons of light in the area and actually stored them in a corkscrew-shaped spiral. This is very, very strange. The DNA apparently created a vortex of some sort that attracted the light, not unlike the idea of a black hole, but on a much, much smaller scale. Few scientists would be willing to suggest that light could appear inside the pineal gland either. But Garyayev proved that the DNA molecule is pulling in photons from somewhere by some unknown process. Due to the difficulty of studying a living human brain, no comparable experiments like this have been done within the pineal gland, at least none that are openly available to the public. The only technology we have that could hold light in a spiral like Garyayev found in the DNA molecule is a fiber optic cable. But even then, fiber optic cables don't hungrily draw in all the light from their surroundings. We're not used to thinking of light as something that can actually be stored. It normally just zips along through space at a very nice speed. If we could even capture it in one spot, we'd probably expect that it would just wear out and lose its energy. Even in the case of photosynthesis, the only way a plant appears to be able to store light is by immediately converting its energy into green-colored chlorophyll. Now, we're seeing light itself being used like a food supply that DNA can store away, not unlike a squirrel hiding acorns in a hollowed-out tree for winter. This triggers a bunch of new questions. What exactly is storing the light? How is it being stored? And why is it being stored? In order to answer those questions, we have to delve deeper into what Garyayev actually discovered, because this is just the beginning. The real magic happened when Dr. Garyayev ended the experiment. He grabbed the quartz container with the DNA in it and moved it out of the way. Nothing more was supposed to happen. Nonetheless, to his utter amazement, even though everything was gone, the container, the DNA, you name it, the light continued spiraling along in the same space as if the DNA were still there. Whatever was holding that light in place, it did not need the DNA molecule at all. It was something else, something invisible. Something powerful enough to store and control visible light within the shape of the DNA molecule itself. The only rational scientific explanation is that there has to be an energy field that is paired up with the DNA molecule, as if DNA has an energetic duplicate. This duplicate has the same shape as the physical molecule. But once we move the DNA, the duplicate still hangs around in the same spot the molecule was in before. It doesn't need the DNA molecule to be there in order for it to keep on doing its job, storing visible light. Some force, perhaps akin to gravity, is holding the photons in place. The implications of this are mind-boggling. Obviously, in the case of a human body, we have far more than one DNA molecule to consider. We have untold trillions of them in a very highly structured arrangement. We have bone DNA, organ DNA, blood DNA, muscle DNA, tendon DNA, skin DNA, nervous system DNA, and brain DNA. So just by a simple extension of Gordievsky's experiment, it is very likely that our entire body must have an energetic duplicate. This fits in perfectly with what Dreich, Gurvitch, Burr, and Becker all theorized and observed. There is an information field that tells our cells what to do and where to do it. Once we add Gordievsky's discovery in, we find out that perhaps the most important thing the DNA molecule does is store light, both in our physical body and in our energetic duplicate body as well. Obviously, conventional science is significantly in need of an overhaul.